Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harenama Harenama Harenamaiva Kivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. Text number 23, please repeat. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesha Brahmanastri Vidhat Smrita Brahmanastena Vedascha Yagyascha Vihita Pura. Synonyms, please repeat. Om, indication of the Supreme. Now, what is the actual meaning of Om? It's three letters, A-U-M. A stands for Krishna, U stands for Srimati Radharani, and M stands for the living entities. Therefore, the sound vibration Om is a complete presentation of the absolute truth. Next word, Tat, that, Sat, eternal. Iti, thus, Nirdesha, indication, Brahmana, of the Supreme, Trividha, threefold, Smrita, is considered, Brahmana, the Brahmanas, Tena, with that, Veda, the Vedic literature, Cha, also, Yajna, sacrifice, Cha, also, Vihita, used, Pura, formally. Please respond. From the beginning of creation, the three words, Om Tat Sat, were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So, several things here before we go to Prabhupada's purport. First of all, from the beginning of creation, so this Om Tat Sat is not something modern, but it has been there since the dawn of creation when Lord Brahma received the four nutshell verses of Bhagavatam from Lord Narayan, as is described in the second canto, chapter 9. And this remaining part of this chapter, from this verse to the end, text number 28, the whole subject matter are these three words, Om, Tat, Sat. And then it says, for the satisfaction of the Supreme. And this is defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, and the definition is given to us by Sutta Goswami when he is explaining and giving the answers to the six questions that were posed to him by the sages of Naimisharanya. Does anybody know who was the leader of those sages? What was his name? Sutta was the guru, but the leader of all those sages of Naimisharanya was headed by Shaunaka Rishi or Shaunaka Muni. He was the leader of the group, and they had selected Sutta Goswami to speak on Bhagavatam. So they asked him six questions, and one of those questions he answered by saying, Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. The absolute truth is a non-dual substance and is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, then localized super soul, and what's the ultimate feature of the absolute truth? Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So now we go to the purport. It has been explained that penance, sacrifice, charity, and foods are divided into three categories. So this is what we learned prior to these verses in this 17th chapter. This is exactly what we learned in the first 22 verses. Three categories, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But whether first class, second class, or third class, they are all conditioned, contaminated by the material modes of nature. When they are aimed at the supreme Om Tat Sat, or the supreme personality of Godhead, the eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. In the scriptural injunctions, such an objective is indicated. These three words, Om Tat Sat, particularly indicate the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. In the Vedic hymns, the word Om is always found. In fact, before every mantra, Om is uttered. That is the law. The mantra has to begin with Om or Nama Om. Like even Om Nama Shivaya, Om is there. So even with other gods, what to speak of Vishnu, Om is uttered. Even many years ago, I was staying at the home of someone in Panama, and he was a great worshiper of Ganesh. And so I asked him, what is the mantra? And he said, Om Ganapataye Namaha. And again, what was the first word? Om. Okay, now review question. Krishna Kumar, in the beginning of this class, I explained the three letters. What do they mean? Very good. So what letter signifies Krishna? A. What letter signifies Radharani? U. Very good. Excellent. We're going to have spot quizzes today. Let's continue with the purport. One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. Does anybody know what verse or what chapter Prabhupada is referring to in that sentence? In this Bhagavad Gita, there was a verse that he's getting that statement from. One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. It's the last verse of what chapter? 16. It was the last verse of chapter 16. Let us continue. He will get some temporary result, but not the ultimate end of life. The conclusion is that the performance of charity, sacrifice, and penance must be done in the mode of goodness. Performed in the mode of passion or ignorance, they are certainly inferior in quality. The three words Om Tat Sat are uttered in conjunction with the holy name of the Supreme Lord. For instance, Om Tad Vishnu. That's a very famous mantra. Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padang Padanti Yat Surayaha. Like that. Whenever a Vedic hymn or the holy name of the Supreme Lord is uttered, Om is added. This is the indication of the Vedic literature. These three words are taken from Vedic hymns. Omit Yetad Brahmano Nedishtam Nama from the Rig Veda indicates the first goal. Then, Tattvam Asi Chandogya Upanishad indicates the second goal. Now, interesting, that phrase, Tattvam Asi, that was the one that Shankaracharya emphasized. Because this Tattvam Asi basically says, you are that Brahman. So that was the one that Shankaracharya emphasized instead of Om, which is what he should have emphasized. Because Om refers to, first of all, Krishna, the absolute truth, first of all. But Shankaracharya wants to propound what? His Mayavad philosophy. So he emphasizes tat tvam asi, you. It's all about the living entity, that the living entity is the absolute truth. The living entity is God. This, what I'm saying right now, is explained in the Adi Lila chapter 7, if you're interested where I'm getting that from. And Sadeva Saumya Chandogya Upanishad indicates the third goal. Combined, they become Om Tat Sat. Formerly, when Lord Brahma, the first created living entity, performed sacrifices, he indicated by these three words the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the same principle has always been followed by disciplic succession. So this hymn has great significance. Bhagavad Gita recommends, therefore, that any work done should be done for Om Tat Sat, or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Didn't we hear something like that in chapter 3? Does anybody know what verse I'm referring to? Anybody knows their Bhagavad Gita? The very similar sentence, any work should be done. Where is that verse in chapter 3? Chapter 3, what verse? Verse 9. Yagyarthart karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Remember that verse? Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, what does work cause? Yes, what does that mean? It causes bondage. Right? We learned that in chapter, that's one of the big verses in chapter 3, that work has to be done for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So who is the Supreme? Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one performs penance, charity, and sacrifice with these three words, he is acting in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a scientific execution. Oh, this is good. This sentence is brilliant. Follow this sentence carefully. Krishna consciousness is a scientific execution of transcendental activities which enables one to return home back to Godhead. That sentence, that's it. It's scientific. That's the first thing Prabhupada is saying. It's scientific. Scientific means you follow the procedures, you'll get the result. Science. It's not hocus pocus or not maybe. No. Science. You follow the procedure, you'll get your return on your investment. The second, execution of transcendental activities. Because Shankaracharya, what did he preach? Activities, that's karma. And that's why the impersonalists think the devotees are doing karmakand. The impersonalists think the devotees, oh, you're all doing karmakand, worshipping deities and doing all this stuff. It's activity. Their philosophy is no activity. So Prabhupada is saying, no. Transcendental activities. We learned this already in chapter 3, 4, and 5. There are two kinds of activities, materialistic activities and spiritual or transcendental activities. But the Mayavadis, they say, no, there's no such thing as spiritual activities. Because to them, all activity is Maya or material or Maya, because they're known as Mayavadis. Everything's Maya except Brahman. That's Shankaracharya's philosophy. So what do the true Mayavadis do? Meditation and read Vedanta Sutra. That's it. And no Mahaprasad. You have to eat this much. This. That's it. Because even eating is Maya, basically, for them. Because they don't believe in Prasad. Because in order to have Prasad, you have to do transcendental activities. And can't be cooking. Cooking is Maya. Can't do anything. Therefore, I could never be a Mayavadi. No, but who are they going to offer to? Brahman? No, because the fruit is the same as me. I am the fruit. No, of course not. Right. They cannot think of the personal form because that's also Maya. Everything's Maya. That's Sankaracharya's philosophy. What? There's pretend Mayavadis or wannabe Mayavadis. There are impersonalists. Yes. Yes, because as I gave this definition of Om, which is the one Prabhupada gives, there's also an impersonal explanation of Om. For everything in the Vedas, there's an impersonal explanation and a personal. Yes. Yeah. They have to, because they have to deal with it. It's there in the Vedas. So, but they give an impersonal definition. Okay? Let's go now to the next verse. There is no loss of energy in acting in such a transcendental way. I'm fired up tonight, folks. Okay, we're going to finish this chapter. Let's go to text number 24. Where is my Hiran? Hiran, you good today? Good. Please repeat. Tasmadomit yudaritya yagyadana tapakriya pravartante vidhanokta satatang brahmavadinam. Meenakshi, I love your loud chanting. Never give that up, please. I like it. It fills the room. Very good. Please repeat. Tasmat. Therefore. Om. Beginning with Om. Iti. Thus. Udahritya. Indicating. Yajna. Of sacrifice. Dana. Charity. Tapa. And penance. Kriya. Performances. Pravartante. Begin. Vidhana ukta. According to scriptural regulation. Satatam. Always. Brahmavadinam. Of the transcendentalists. And this word, Brahmavadinam, is there also in the 10th canto. And it was, Prabhupada refers to this when he's describing Garga Muni. Who can tell me the service Garga Muni did for Krishna and Balaram? He gave the Namakarana or name-giving ceremony. So Prabhupada, the verse appears, this line appears in the 10th canto that Garga Muni was Brahmavadinam. He was a true devotee transcendentalist. Okay. Please repeat. Therefore, transcendentalist undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. So there's always that person. Hey, you guys chant Hare Krishna, where's your Om? You're supposed to say Om first. And Prabhupada immediately responds, Om is within Hare Krishna mantra. And when we do next month the Gita Yajna, before each shloka, Om Dharmakshetre Kudukshetre, Om Manmana Om Sarvada Mantrit Yajna. Every verse, because it's a yajna. We're doing the chanting of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a yajna, so you have to begin with Om before. Huh? What about it? Yes. Yes, that is correct. All right. Let's look at the purport. Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padang from the Rig Veda. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity. At the end of every Namahat program, Nimaicharan quotes Shukracharya, and he says that whenever there is chanting of the holy name, everything becomes faultless. Yes. Let's do text number 25. Please repeat. Tad ityana bisandhaya phalang yagya tapakriya dana kriyascha vividha kriyante mokshakangshabihi. Let's do the synonyms. Tat, that, iti, thus, anabhisandhaya, without desiring, phalam, the fruitive result, yagya, of sacrifice, tapa, and penance, kriya, activities, dana, of charity, kriya, activities, cha, also, vividha, various, kriyante, are done, mokshakangshabihi, by those who actually desire liberation. Please repeat. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. This is an important point. This is also one of the statements of Sutta Goswami when he's answering the six questions posed to him by Shaunaka Rishi. And one of the first things he says is that, yes, you have to do activities, but not so that you enjoy the fruits and become entangled and have to take birth again. No. The purpose of all activities is what? Get free from material entanglement. For instance, if you're in a prison, the idea is to stay in the prison or get out. Not for some people, because they have a better life in the prison. But any sane person, if you were in a prison, you would want to get out as quickly as possible because you are aware of a better life. Correct? So you're going to do actions with the purpose of getting out of jail, not remaining in it. Well, the Vedas teach us this whole material existence is a prison. So if I'm not doing transcendental activities, I'm simply ensuring another term of imprisonment. Maybe as a demigod, but they're still prisoners. They're prisoners in the mode of goodness. Human beings are prisoners in the mode of passion. And the animals, the aquatics, the insects, they're prisoners in the mode of ignorance. But if you still remain in this material world, even if you're Lord Brahma, you're a prisoner. The idea is to, what is Prabhupada, what's the name of the magazine? Oh. So originally, you were not a prisoner. Originally, you were a free soul. Now we have become prisoners. And someone may say, hey, if I was in a prisoner, there should be shackles. So what do the Vedas say are the shackles to prove that we're conditioned? Anybody know? Sex. Sex is the shackles. Because by sex desire guarantees, take another birth. You like sex? Okay. Now try sex as dog. Go ahead. Sex, it's explained, Prabhupada pointed it out. I can't remember the exact phrase, but it's in one of the purports in the third chapter. The shackles of sex life, that guarantees You're going to come back as a prisoner. The man who's attached to woman, what does he come back next life? And the woman who's attached to the man? So it's a better deal for the woman. It is. Yes. Therefore, the ideal is the woman is attached to the man, but the man is attached to? Yes, God or Krishna, spiritual life. Then they both win-win. But if they... Now, here's the thing. Why do you think you read in the Vedas Mandodari? Who's Mandodari? She's the wife. But why is she described as chaste? Not just that. She was strictly obeying her husband. So she did not become degraded. Ravana had to get killed, but she got elevated. So if the man is bad and the woman still remains chaste to the husband, she goes up, he may go down. Isn't that what Krishna told the gopis the night of the rasa dance? You know that section. Krishna told the gopis, take care of the husband, take care of the children. He said, this is the highest religious principle for woman. And it says it guarantees her elevation to heaven. What to speak if the wife has Sarvadharman husband? Huh? Then, and the wife also has Harinam initiation, then her, yes, she goes back home, back to Godhead. Yes. All right. Shall we go to the purport? Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. To be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Act should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please.